are in the midst of sadness, sorrow, deep depression. It's as if it will never end, doesn't it? It's like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. If that's you today, I invite you to stick around and join us here on Abounding Grace. We're in John chapter 16, and Pastor Chris Gordon is there to remind us that Jesus' desire for you and I is to actually have joy. In fact, he really takes Psalm 30, weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning, and he expands on that for his disciples and for you and I as well. Oh, we all experience the depression and sorrows of this life, but Jesus desires that we have joy in the midst of it and to understand it won't last forever. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon with today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
Well, I invite you to turn in your Bibles this morning, if you have them, to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And I'm going to be reading at verses 16 through 24 of John 16 this morning, looking at this great truth of Jesus turning sorrow into joy. So what a beautiful section this morning to come to in John chapter 16. This is the word of the Lord beginning at verse 16. A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I'm going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he's talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, Is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come, but when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish. For joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And there we'll end the reading of God's word. A beautiful section today of Scripture to come to and to study. Such a helpful section, a little bit complex if you've read it and thought that there's a lot going on there, or maybe not. I don't understand the flow of that. We're going to look at that and open that up for a minute here. But it's such a helpful section today to understand certain things that Jesus is aiming for his disciples and for us. You'll remember that they have been in despair for quite some time in the things that Jesus has been saying. He wanted to comfort them, and he wanted to help them to understand what was transpiring so that they would not be in darkness about the things that were happening. This is a very important theme in the Gospel of John, in Jesus' speech to his people, and the things and the goals for which he is saying what he is saying. Christ's goal was that things would be understood by his people, that things would be appreciated, and he knew that there would be a great consequence of understanding. See, this is really important for the subject today that we're considering, that really there is a great consequence of understanding the faith and understanding Jesus' words. And there's also certain problems that arise when we don't understand Jesus and don't listen to Jesus and don't comprehend exactly what he's saying to us. Jesus has been saying this all along. Remember what he said back in chapter 15. A servant does not know what his master's doing, but I'm not treating you like that. Remember what he said? I have called you friends, for whatever I've heard from my Father, I have told you. And now Jesus is going to say something interesting. Whatever I have told you, the Spirit's going to tell you. So this is really a fascinating section. But I want you to notice there that the goal of Jesus, the goal of his purpose, was that there would be understanding in his sheep. Not fear, not darkness, not blindness. Understanding that leads to a great benefit. The problem has not been his lack of clarity. I want to say that. Up front. The problem in John's gospel has not been his lack of clarity. He's been saying spiritual things. He's been saying things to Nicodemus, like you must be born again, and I don't get it at all what you're talking about. He's been telling things, saying things like to the woman at the well. You need living water. You don't have a bucket. He's been using certain speech the whole time that belongs to those of the kingdom of God. But the problem has been with their ability to comprehend what he's saying. It's not just that he wants understanding for understanding's sake, which is really remarkable, but he's very invested in a beautiful benefit for you in understanding what he's saying. And that's what we're going to look at today in this great passage of John chapter 16. The greatest benefit, the greatest goal that he has in understanding for us as his people is a really remarkable thing that we've struggled with. And guess what it is? It's called joy. Joy. He knows that true joy in this life comes through understanding. And understanding what he is saying. But the problem has been, if you have one of these red letter Bibles, there's a lot of red letters here, and they still don't get it. They still don't get it. So something is lacking. We have to appreciate how the human heart works, how the mind works, and how difficult it is to comprehend God's truth, to take in God's truth, to digest that truth. There's something more he needs to do for them so that they might have this joy that he desires for them. And that's what we're going to explore today. The passage is quite simple. Jesus is explaining the hard things the disciples are about to face. And he's explaining the difficult things by encouraging them in the midst of it to not lose heart because there is a happiness and a joy that's following, that's coming for them. Now let's look at the text today that seems a little bit confusing. I want to start with the point of Jesus' loving concern for them in their time of sorrow. And you'll notice that he's been saying certain things that's somewhat confusing, like this. I didn't tell you certain things about following me, but now I'm telling you openly. But then in verse 12 last time, remember what he said. I had to stop and ponder it again for a minute. It's so profound. Look at what he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. That's an interesting statement. That word for bear means you can't take it up right now. You can't handle it right now. You can't take it into you right now. I have a lot I want to tell you. I have a lot I want to bear to you and give to you, but you can't handle it. This is the backdrop of this section. I think it explains the confusing moment that we have here with the disciples that John really capitalizes on. And in any time a biblical writer gives this much attention, look at how many verses were given to the little while here. What do you mean a little while? What is he saying, little while? Are you worried about me talking about a little while? Over and over and over. Listen to it. Then some of his disciples said, what is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. And because I go to the Father, they said, what is this that he says? A little while. We do not know what he's saying. And Jesus, knowing that they desired to ask him, he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, you will see me. This is the kind of thing you want to skip. What in the world is this? And how is this profitable at all for us? Right? This is like bantering back and forth with your two-year-old. Dad, what do you mean? Well, I just told you. What do you mean? Over and over and over. Weird section. You have to stop as a preacher and a Bible reader and say, okay, John has an important thing he's doing here. John has something really important he's teaching here. Anytime you have this kind of repetition, John does nothing mindlessly or without great purpose. Half of our text this morning takes up this little concept of a little while. A little while. And it did nothing when Jesus said it, but produced mass confusion. What do you mean? Whose fault is this? Jesus's or theirs? That they can't understand what he's saying. That's always a good question, you know, when the pastor preaches. Whose fault is it? Is it the pastor or is it you? You know, it could be me or it could be you. Most of the time it's blamed on me. That's okay. I can take that. But it's an important thing to ask. What is the little while? How do we have understanding and how do we get to meaning? And what about these confusing things? Everyone hears a certain way. And I've been in the ministry long enough to know everyone hears what they want to hear on any given particular point. Whereas two people can stand after the service and say, did you hear this? No, I heard this. And it could go on endlessly. Listening and hearing is challenging business. So the initial response is to say that the Lord is not being clear. I think the Lord's being very clear. A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while you will see me because I go to the Father. I think it's important to say that John is showing us this first and foremost. This is where it gets really beautiful. To show us the desire of Jesus in his concern over their confusion. He is really burdened by their confusion. He is really burdened that they're going through what they're about to go through without understanding. What a savior. What a savior. In other words, you could stop and say, all of our problems in life that we go through, the challenges come down as Christians often, if we could sum it up, is because we lack understanding in what we're facing and lack understanding of purpose in what we're facing. This is just what Jesus says in verse 20 as he helps them to understand. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. He's mapping out for them in the midst of their confusion how it's going to go. Think of how much Jesus had said he's going to go and die. Think of how many times he said, the Son of Man's going to go and he's going to, at the hands of sinners, be crucified and he's going to be hung on a cross. And he'll rise the third day. He kept saying this in the ministry over and over and over. And at every point, they fought him. No, you won't. No, you won't. They fought him. And because they fought him and they didn't listen to him, confusion was coming. Confusion was coming. And Jesus knows it. Jesus sees what they are about to experience. Jesus sees the pain they are about to go through. And in verse 19, now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him and said to him, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? See, he's concerned about it. He didn't have to raise that. A little while and you will not see me, and a little while you will see me again. Most assuredly, I say to you, will weep and lament. But the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. Take the sorrows that we go through in life. You know, take the sorrows that we go through in life. We have hard things hit all of a sudden, as we've had in these last weeks. Difficult things. And almost inevitably, it's so true that now you have been, look at the blessings of all of the training and the teaching and the blessings that you have learned over the years, how that has helped you. Think of, almost inevitably, people will come to me and say, I don't know how people without the Lord or understanding get through this. It is really true. I don't know. I think that's why we have massive problems with abuse and suicide rates go high. And when you have very difficult situations without the Lord, I think people fall apart. And in his common grace and mercy, he may put a stop to it to be merciful. But I can't imagine the depression and everything that follows if you have no understanding of what you're going through. No understanding that there's a God. No belief that there's one on the throne. No understanding or knowledge of it. I don't know how people get through. They have no worldview or a perspective that anyone's in control of anything. And everything's spinning about by chance. They're crushed and without hope because their mind's not renewed. Now, I'm really trying to help you to see the blessings that you have and don't even realize. To them, things can be a product of random chance. No way to understand present darkness. No way to perceive the things that are happening. No way to know or have any sort of perspective outside of it. Now just stop for a minute. Imagine going through what they're about to go through. The disciples are going to have to bear, without understanding, one of the worst things ever to see in the history of the world. See, I don't think we've stopped and thought about this enough. They loved him. They confessed him. They believe this is the Son of God. They haven't understood what Jesus is saying about the cross. It hasn't come into them. It hasn't opened their minds. Their minds are not open to this yet. That the Son of Man has to suffer and die and rise. They don't even know why. Jesus says, when I am lifted up, you're going to go through one of the worst moments in your life of lament and sorrow. You will weep. You will lament, and all around you, the world's going to rejoice. Imagine that. For them, the long-appointed Messiah, God's Messiah, just got beat. God died. It's over. Imagine that right now. If you thought all that's happening and all the stuff in the world, if actually what was happening was God got beat, how could you get up? Why would you want to live? It's over. There's no hope. Satan's won. I don't think we can really get into the pain that they experience. Think of all the years of belief and then this. You see why I'm making the point here that the extent to which you've grown in the faith and know the truth, the extent to which you're able to handle, is the extent to which you're able to handle the sorrow that comes. And look at the sorrow. Think through it. That's why people who go through intense sorrow stay strong when they have understanding. They have understanding. Remember, Jesus would say in the course of the ministry that what's going to happen in this life, what you're going to see in this life, beloved, is that in the world, here's what's going to happen. People are going to faint with fear and with foreboding of what's coming on the world. You know that's happening. People in this world are fainting with fear right now over what's happening on the world. They have no understanding. You see how improper it is for the Christian to faint with fear? Sorrow without understanding is one of the worst places to be. That's what leads to the hardships and despairs and falling apart and depression and all those things. Hopelessness. Hopelessness that invades our world in the sorrow, because people have no understanding. The way that our Christianity has real meaning to us in this world has to do with understanding. Think of after the resurrection, where Jesus is going to all correct this now. And the first thing he says to those Emmaus disciples as they're crying and weary on the road, "Oh, slow to understand. Was it not always said that this would happen? Weren't you always taught that this would happen? Oh, slow to understanding." And then it says he opened their understandings. What Jesus is doing here is so wonderful. He loves them. He loves you. He's grieved in his heart about the sorrow they're going to face without understanding. So grieved. So what does he do? Well, it's the application of the psalm we all love in Psalm 30. Weeping comes in the night, but joy comes in the morning. You know, this is the application. This is the fulfillment of that. The answer is already hinted at back at 14, where I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to pray to the Father, and the Father's going to send you someone else that he may abide with you forever. He is going to dwell in you, and he is going to do something for you. He is the Spirit of truth. Immediately after that, remember what Christ said, "I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you." Immediately after that. So his coming was in connection, I'm answering the little while dilemma here, his coming was in connection with the coming of the Helper. So when Jesus says, "A little while and you will not see me," he was speaking of the cross and the horrid death they're about to see. He's saying, you are going to experience that. Lament and weep and sorrow. But then comes resurrection, and then comes ascension. But notice what he says. "A little while, in a short time, you will see me again." Those are two different words. It's a really, I think, important moment in the gospel. It goes like this. "In a little while, you will no longer see me with your sense perception. But after a little while, you will see me. You will see me spiritually in a way through understanding." Jesus viewed the work of the Holy Spirit as absolutely triumphant and the greatest blessing to you.
That secret to the joy that Jesus desires you and I to have, no matter what sorrow, depression, or challenge we find ourselves in the middle of. You're listening to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, who will return in just a moment with a look ahead to our next broadcast. Questions, comments about the program, as always, are more than welcome. We'd love to hear from you. How's the program encouraging you in your walk and relationship with Christ? Reach out to us. Let us know, won't you? Our number is 888-504-8805. Or you can visit us online, agradio.org. Now, that is a great resource to have handy. Not only do we have past programs available online at our website, we also have jumping off points to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as well as recent articles written by Pastor Chris and other friends of the ministry. Again, agradio.org. We also would like to remind you that you're a very key part of this ministry, Abounding Grace Radio. Through your financial partnership with us and prayerful support, we are able to continue this ministry, not only on this station, but others as well. So would you please consider partnering with us financially, whether it's a one-time gift, a monthly gift, no gift is too small or too large. Reach out to us again at agradio.org or call us at 888-504-8805. As promised now, once again, here's Pastor Chris to look forward to our next broadcast.
You've been asking all these questions and you don't even know what to ask. That's not going to be the case when the Spirit comes, because with joy, I'm going to open up your understandings. And the difference is you're going to pray differently. You're going to pray differently. Jesus says, "Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. When I'm raised and I'm seated, you're going to pray in my name and you, as your gracious mediator and friend. And you know what's going to happen? The Father is going to aid you. The Father is going to love you, and the Spirit is going to bless you. And I'm not going to leave you in darkness without understanding so that sorrow will ever fill you this way again. I'm not letting that happen. The Holy Spirit will not let that happen.
That's tomorrow here on Abounding Grace. Join us then. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.